हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सहनाववतो सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। Yes, doing from the 15th verse today. So, in the previous classes, in all these verses which you have seen until the 14th verse, we saw Vidyaranya Swami how he first established how the Atma Swarupam, Atma is of the nature of Chit, Sat and Anandaha. Then he said, even though Anandaha is not totally unknown, this Atma Swarupam is not totally known, it is not totally unknown also. So one's own real nature is not something totally unknown. If it is totally unknown, then we would not have, we can't have a desire for our real nature. If your real nature is already happiness, and if you do not know that at all, you can never have a desire for something unknown. Your the thirst for, the urge for, the desire for happiness is naturally there in you. The very fact that there's a desire for happiness is the proof that it is partially known to you. It is known to you. What it is known to you as your own nature. At the same time, it is not totally known also. If that your real nature being happiness is totally known to you, if you've taken ownership of happiness as your real nature, then definitely you would not have been going after the worldly things for pleasures. The search on the part of the human mind, the search for the pleasures, the urge for pleasures, the craving for pleasures will not be there if we have already known our real nature being happiness all totally. Which means that our real nature is partially known, partially unknown. Therefore, it needs to be known. And he also said in the previous class, one more thing, how in the Vedic class, where the students study the Vedic chanting, there the nature of the boys, the father goes and listens to the son's chanting, in a chorus chanting. He hears his son's, definitely his son's voice is heard for him. At the same time, not specifically distinctly heard by him, isn't it? It is heard, it is also not heard. Why? Because the chorus voice, the voice of all the students in chorus becomes the obstacle. It prevents his son's voice from being heard distinctly. In the same way here also, what really prevents us from taking ownership of happiness as our own real nature? It is known. My Swarupam is happiness is known to me. But I am not able to take ownership of my real nature being happiness. I am not able to revel in that happiness. Thereby I am not able to be free from unhappiness. Why? What is the obstacle here? Ajnanam, avidya. That's what we saw in the last classes. Now, he is going to unfold now what this avidya is. Now, we have to resolve the ignorance. Ignorance which is an obstacle here. Avidya, ignorance is an obstacle which prevents us from taking ownership of our real nature being happiness. Okay, I think happiness is already there. Something is blocking, something is preventing you, from taking ownership of it. So what is that? It is ajnanam, which means this avidya, this ignorance has to be resolved. If ignorance is resolved, we remove the ignorance, then we don't need to attain happiness. Happiness which is already there as our swarupam, we can take ownership of, we can revel in that happiness and fullness. Which means we can free ourselves from all limitations and unhappiness. How to resolve the avidya? And this is the thing, we are not destroying the ignorance here. We are going to understand what ignorance is. What this avidya is. What this ignorance is. Where has it come from? Where does it exist? And where is it going to resolve? Just understanding what avidya is what having the avidya resolved. It's a very subtle lesson. People, we have to destroy ignorance, undo ignorance. We talk all these things. If you search for what is ignorance is, try to understand what ignorance is. Avidya can be resolved. Avidya is, ignorance is, we know that much now. But we do not know what ignorance is. Again, we know only what? There is ignorance. There is avidya. But we do not know what this avidya is. If you know what avidya is, you have got avidya resolved. Then what is, if an avidya is resolved, what is there is only anandaha. Only Brahma, only the reality, only the Atma, only the Self. Isn't it? Therefore, how to understand what avidya? So, understanding avidya is resolving the avidya. So, now he is going to help understand what avidya is. Look at this.
Chidanandamayam Brahma. Chidanandamaya Brahma. प्रतिबिंबसमन्वितः चिदानन्दमय ब्रह्म प्रतिबिंबसमन्विता तमोरजसत्त्वगुणः प्रकृतिर्द्विविधा च सा चिदानन्दमय ब्रह्म प्रतिबिंबसमन्विता तमोरजसत्त्वगुणः प्रकृतिर्द्विविधा च सा.
So here he is going to talk about, now we are going to understand what avidya is. It's like, all the time somebody comes and troubles you. This one person always causing lot of troubles for me. Then you want to really get out the troubles caused by that person. Then what do you know? What do you do? Somehow I had to free myself from the troubles caused by this person. The why this person is causing troubles for me? Who this person? What is the problem with him? You want to know who this person is, isn't it? Try to understand him. How to tackle him. The same way here also. We are not destroying avidya. We are not undoing avidya. We are going to understand what avidya is. So in order to understand what avidya is, now Vidyaranya Swami introduces the avidya. What this avidya is? He says, Chit Anandamaya Brahma Pratibimba Samanvita Tamo Rajasattva Guna Guna Prakritir Dvidachasa is a Chidanandamaya Brahma. Brahman, the Brahma, the limitless reality, the absolute reality, implied by the term Brahma, which is of the nature of limitlessness, and also what? The consciousness. The reality, which is the consciousness, which is of the nature of limitlessness, thereby implied by the term Brahma. I repeat it. The reality, the consciousness, which is of the nature of limitlessness, implied by the term Brahma. And this Brahma is what now? This Samanvita. Samanvita means Brahma. And here the Prakritihi is what now? Prakritihi is the power of this Brahman. Power of this reality is Prakritihi. Prakritihi is a word. Prakritihi is the power of this reality, consciousness, which is of the nature of limitlessness, thereby implied by the term Brahma. And this Prakritihi is what now? Tamo Rajas Sattva Guna Prakritihi. And this Prakriti is of three gunas. Sattva Gunaha, Rajo Gunaha and Tamo Gunaha. And this Prakritihi, which is of three qualities, is what now we say is twofold, Dvividha Chasa. We see Prakriti in twofold forms. Dvividha. This, what is Prakritihi? The power of consciousness. The power of consciousness, Prakritihi, is of three qualities, Sattva, Rajo, Rajas and Tamo Gunas. Three Gunas is of twofold. What are they? We are going to see here in the following verse. And before I move to other verse, I want to tell you, all the time people talk about Sattva Gunaha, Rajo Gunaha, Tamo Gunaha, Rajo, Tattva Gunaha. I tell you, we don't have something called Guna separately. Gunas are the names given to expression of the threefold powers. Okay, the threefold powers manifest. See, the threefold powers, when they are unmanifest, the one power alone, the one power called Prakritihi, is of three gunas means what? The one Prakriti is of three powers. The three in one. What are three here? Jnana Shaktihi, Iccha Shaktihi, Kriya Shaktihi. The power of knowledge which should precede the power of desiring. The capacity to desire. Why? Because it is impossible for you to have desire for something unknown. Isn't it? The desire is always possible only if there is knowledge of an object. How can you have desire for laddu if you do not know how the laddu tastes? What laddu is? Even to have dislike also you must know the object, isn't it? So desire, you cannot have dislike for something if you never had liking for it. Or even if you had like or dislike, you must know the object. Without knowing who the person is, what the object is, what his nature is, simply if you hate somebody, there's a sickness, isn't it? You can't have desire for anything without knowing what the object is. Therefore, desire presupposes the knowledge. Therefore, the power of knowing, jnana shaktihi, and the capacity to desire, the power of desiring, iccha shaktihi. Once the desire comes, then you act to fulfill the desire, kriya shaktihi. So kriya shaktihi, the power of activity, the capacity to act presupposes the capacity to desire. The capacity to desire presupposes the capacity to know. Therefore, power of knowledge, the power of knowing, the power of desiring, the power of acting, isn't it? The power of activity. All these powers together, we say what now? The powers are there as one power of consciousness. All the three powers are there as one power of consciousness, which is called Prakritihi. There is power of knowledge, Jnana Shaktihi in Prakritihi. There is power of, the power of desiring, the power of activity. All the three, the unmanifest, undifferentiated, remain as one power, you call it what? Prakritihi. And the same Prakritihi, we say what? Is also known as Maya. We'll come to it later on. And the same Prakritihi alone, we say, and these powers, when they are manifest, they are given the names Gunas. What is Jnana? Now, it says Sattva Gunaha is a name given to the Jnana Shakti manifest. The Jnana Shakti manifest is known by the term Sattva Gunaha. Okay, then Iccha Shakti manifest is what? Rajo Gunaha. Kriya Shakti manifest is what? Is also what we can say, Rajo Gunaha only. Okay, so Iccha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, both are actually the manifestations of the manifestations of the same the powers. Iccha Shakti. And when there's a certain condition of the mind, the dullness, we say there's lack of activity, we call it tamo gunaha. So three gunas are the names given to the threefold powers, manifestation of threefold powers. And here Prakritihi, sa Prakritihi dvividha, sa dvividha. It is what? Now it is twofold. Prakriti is twofold. Means what? We give two different names to Prakritihi. When do you give the name to what are the two names? Maya and Avidya. This Prakritihi, the power of consciousness, which is of the nature of three gunas, three qualities, and which is twofold, which is given two different names as Amaya and Avidya. That is said in this 15th mantra. Now, what are we understanding? Now, we are trying to understand what this avidya is. What is that which blocks, which prevents us from taking ownership of our real nature being happiness, our own real nature of happiness. Now, sattva shuddhya vishuddhya, sattva shuddhi avishuddhya, Dibhyam, sattva shuddhya vishuddhibhyam, maya vidyechate mate, maya vidyechate mate, maya bimbo vashi kritya, maya bimbo vashi kritya, tamsyat sarvajna ishvaraha. So, sattva shuddhi avishuddhibhyam, sattva shuddhi avishuddhibhyam, maya avidyecha temate. So, those two are, what are the two here? We say Maya and Avidya. This Maya and Avidya are two different names given to what? The same Prakritihi. When do we call this Maya? He says, this Prakritihi, when it associated with the total, we also what now? The total as a manifesting medium. Okay, now he says, this Maya and Avidya are not something here. The same Brahman, the consciousness, associated with this, with the total manifestation, the universe, is given the name Ishwaraha. And the same consciousness associated with an individual is called what? Avidya. So what is avidya? Prakritihi. What is maya? Prakritihi. Why do we get two different names? In keeping with its association. Okay, the consciousness, when it's manifest in the total, we call it Ishvara. The same consciousness, man, the individual man, we say what now? Jiva. But then, this Prakriti associated with the individual is called what? The Prakriti from the standpoint of an individual is given the name Avidya. The same Prakriti from the standpoint of the total, we call it what? Ishvara. So, Maya and Avidya are nothing but Prakritihi. Maya is also what? Power of consciousness, Prakritihi. Avidya is also what? Power of consciousness, Avidya. And which means, this power, both are one and the same, Prakritihi only. Maya is also Prakritihi, Avidya is also Prakritihi, which is power of consciousness. They are not, that's why we can say, Maya, Avidya, Prakritihi, Avyaktam, Avyakritihi, are all synonyms I said. We mean only one thing, what is the power of consciousness. But when do we give that name? Why differentiate as Maya and Avidya? In keeping with what is it associated with? Isn't it? The consciousness, the power of consciousness is always inseparably with consciousness, isn't it? Like what? Like the heat and the sun, fire. Heat and the fire are inseparable. Sun and the light are inseparable. Similarly, here the power of consciousness also is inseparable from the consciousness. When it is inseparable, but there is no way of recognizing Maya, power of consciousness or consciousness. Consciousness is also non-recognizable. And then power of consciousness also is non-recognizable. Why? They are not two, they are one. Isn't it? They are not two, they are one. The power of consciousness and consciousness, should not even use the word and, because they are not two. When you look at the fire as fire, do you say the heat and the fire? In fact, the heat and brilliance of the fire are inseparable, intrinsic nature of the fire. Then here also the power of knowledge, the power of consciousness, which is called Prakritihi, is inseparable from consciousness. So Prakritihi as Prakritihi is non-recognizable. And also, because consciousness is non-recognizable. Why? Because consciousness is only reality, and there being only reality, there is no subject-object division in consciousness, and consciousness is not an object of knowledge. Is it clear now? It is not available for perception. It is of the nature of attributelessness. Therefore, there is no way of recognizing consciousness. There is no way of knowing consciousness. Therefore, no way of understanding power of consciousness also. But when can you recognize consciousness? Consciousness can be recognized not as the original consciousness, but consciousness can be recognized only when it is manifest. The manifestation of consciousness alone can be recognized. For us to be able to recognize the consciousness, the manifestation of consciousness alone, manifest consciousness alone can be recognized. The pure consciousness can never be recognized. By recognizing the manifestation of consciousness, you arrive at the original, you understand the original consciousness. And similarly, the Prakriti also, you never understand Prakriti also when there is no manifestation. See, Prakriti also is what now? The power of consciousness also, being the power of consciousness, You can understand only when there is manifestation. When there is manifestation of consciousness, you understand the manifest consciousness, you understand the power of consciousness also. When there is no manifestation, both Prakriti and consciousness being one inseparable reality, it is non-recognizable, non-accessible, non-interactable. Is it clear? The power also is recognizable only when there is manifestation of consciousness. The consciousness also is recognizable only through its manifestation. When the power is manifest through its power of power alone, consciousness is recognizable. Is it clear? This is very important to understand. Therefore, and we say, this, the consciousness manifest as the total. From there we understand what? The total cause identified with, associated with the total universe is given the state name what? Ishwaraha. Then we called it power of consciousness as Maya. The same consciousness identified with the individual is called Jivaha. Then the power of consciousness is known as Avidya. And one more important thing here we need to understand is Ishwaraha is the wielder. Actually, Ishwara is free from Maya, whereas Jiva is bound by Avidya. The only difference. Ishwara is free from the power of consciousness, free from the power of consciousness. Therefore, we say what? Lord of Maya. Ishwara is free from Prakriti. Therefore, we say what? Lord of Maya. Whereas he Jiva is bound by Prakriti, therefore we call it Jiva. See, one thing is very important. For knowledge to manifest, so now manifestation of consciousness, manifestation of knowledge means only through its power. Manifestation of consciousness is through the manifest its own power. And here, read the next verse now. Avidya vashagastvanyaha. Avidya vashagastvanyaha. Tadvai chityadane kadha. Sakarana shariram syat prajnastatrabhimanavan prajnastatrabhimanavan. Now he's going to introduce slowly to understand avidya totally, how he develops the teaching. You see here, now you know this much. Prakritihi is name given to the power of consciousness, and this Prakritihi is of three gunas, the three qualities. The three gunas are nothing but the names given to the threefold powers when they are manifest. And the same Prakritihi is known as Maya, and same Prakritihi known as Avidya, in keeping with this association. Then we say this Avidya, and here we say Ishwaraha, the consciousness associated with this Prakriti is what? We say Ishwara, when this Prakriti is known as Maya. The consciousness associated with the individual is called Jiva, then the Prakriti is called Avidya. And here, but here Jivaha is bound by this Prakritihi in terms of Avidya. So Avidya Vashagaha Anyaha. Avidya Vashagaha means the one who is under the spell of this ignorance. then we say, when this this consciousness associated with this avidya, avidya is called what? Actually, jivaha is okay, but that particular avidya, then we say prajnaha. Then what is that? Then that charyam is called karana shariram. Avidya, consciousness associated with the avidya is called jivaha, and then it's also called what? Prajnaha. Prajnaha. So consciousness identified with avidya is known as prajnaha, the jivaha. The jiva is known as prajnaha. Jivaha only is given the name prajnaha when identified with the avidya. And the avidya then we called what? Karana shariram. Avidya is the karana shariram. Now don't search for karana shariram. There is no other karana shariram other than avidya. Avidya is the karana shariram. How avidya becomes the karana shariram? Very interesting. You will know here today. As long as avidya is, avidya here is what? Ignorance of existence of one's own self and ignorance of what oneself is. When you say I am, there is knowledge of the existence of oneself. That knowledge is only half knowledge. But still there is knowledge is not complete knowledge. I am consciousness, I am Brahman, when you say it is total knowledge. But I am is only half knowledge. When it is half knowledge, definitely there is also partial ignorance also is there. And because of this partial ignorance, I am leaving this topic and coming to this part. How avidya is karana shariram? Why it is called causal body? This is not a causal body when you say, suppose wood is the causal body of the table. When you say the wood becomes real cause, material cause for the body, for the table, isn't it? But when you say avidya is the causal body, how avidya is the causal body? Karana shariram. In this half ignorance, what happens is definitely there is erroneous self-perception. You mistake the error is possible only in ignorance. For the error to be there, there must be ignorance. In total knowledge, there cannot be error. In total ignorance also, error is not possible. In total ignorance, error is not possible. In total knowledge also, error is not possible. In half-baked knowledge alone, error is possible. If you do not know you are, if you do not know you are, if you do not know what you are, how can you have wrong identity? How can you mistake yourself for something what you are not? You do not even know you are. Therefore, in total ignorance, there cannot be identity. Therefore, in non-identity, there is no error. In total knowledge also, there cannot be error. For the error, there must be half knowledge and half ignorance. Therefore, in half ignorance, there is error possible. That wrong identity is possible only in half knowledge. In total ignorance, there is non-identity. In total knowledge, there will be right identity. In half knowledge, half ignorance, there is wrong identity. Non-identity, wrong identity. Is it right identity, wrong identity? When is wrong identity? In half knowledge, in half ignorance. In total ignorance, there is non-identity. In total knowledge, there is right identity. Isn't it? So in non-identity also, there is no problem. There is no error there. In right identity, there is no error possible. But whereas, only in wrong identity, that is error, isn't it? Error itself is what? Erroneous perception. One can mistake oneself for what one is not. So it's called erroneous self-perception. So mistaking anatma for the atma, mistaking anything other than myself for myself is what? Erroneous self-perception. And that mistake is called adhyasaha. No, because the basic thing is also important here. What is adhyasa? I'm talking here how the avidya is known as karana shariram. That is what my teaching is here. Okay. Because of this half ignorance, okay, this avidya, what happens now? We say, in waking, there is half knowledge and half ignorance. In deep sleep state, there is what? Total ignorance, avidya. In deep sleep state, there is total ignorance. You do not know you are. You do not know what you are. In sleep, there is total ignorance. That's also what? Avidya. And then, in waking, you have half knowledge in half ignorance. That is where you have wrong identity. Then, in that wrong, when you do not know what you are, you mistake yourself for something which you are not, which means there is erroneous self-perception. This error in the perception of yourself, you mistake the anatma for the atma yourself. You are atma, but you mistake yourself for anatma. That mistaking anatma for you, for yourself, you mistake yourself for something which you are not, is called what? Adhyasaha. Erroneous perception. And because of this erroneous perception, what you do? You mistake the limitations, the attributes of anatma as your attributes. This is called adhyaropaha, superimposition. Once you mistake ajnanam leads to adhyasaha. Adhyasaha leads to adhyaropaha. Adhyaropaha leads to what? Erroneous notion about the oneself, which is called ahankaraha. See, ahankaraha means what? I am this, I am that. Any notion you entertain about yourself. And there's a common notions all the human beings entertain about themselves. What is that? I am a mortal. I am a human being. I was born on this day. I am going to die on this day. I'm educated. I'm good looking. I'm whatever it is. And then I'm hungry. See, our identity with all over all the body, mind, and complex anatma is what all the notions one entertains about oneself. The self image one has about oneself is what? Erroneous self-image, wrong self-image, wrong notions about oneself, which means anything you add to the knowledge, half knowledge, I am is beautiful knowledge, that knowledge of existence of yourself, knowledge of the existence of one's own self, obtaining in the form of a thought, one's own mind, is what? That is knowledge of existence of oneself, beautiful. But anything you add to that becomes what? Your notion about yourself, your image you have about yourself. I am so and so. I am fat, I am thin, I am tall, I am good looking, I am ugly looking, I am fair, I am intelligent, I am dull, I am poor, I am rich, I am educated, I am uneducated. No, I am happy, I am unhappy, I am sad. Like that, anything, I'm sick, anything you add to I am becomes what? Erroneous. Relatively, it may be right. Absolutely, it is wrong. Relative standpoint, it may be right. But absolutely, we are wrong. We are not totally wrong, okay? Relatively wrong. I am fat means relatively right. Not absolutely right. Which means that erroneous, the notions, any notion one entertains about oneself based on one's erroneous self-perception is what we say, that is ahankaraha. So ahankaraha, ahankaraha means what? Whatever you add to the knowledge I am, which expresses the erroneous notion you have about yourself, is ahankaraha. What is ahankaraha? I'm repeating. Anything we add to the knowledge I am, anything we add, any attribute, any qualification, anything we add to I am, the knowledge of the existence of, which is an expression of the knowledge of existence of one's own self, is an erroneous notion which is called ahankaraha. I repeat it. Anything we add to I am, the knowledge of the existence of one's own self, the expression of knowledge of existence of one's own self, is what? Is an erroneous notion one has about oneself, which is called ahankaraha. Is it clear? And this ahankaraha results in what? So ajnanam results in adhyasa, adhyasa results in adhyaropaha, adhyaropa results in ahankaraha. And you see, this is this wrong notion one has about oneself leads to what? Results in the need, the sense of inadequacy, sense of smallness, the sense of insignificance centered on I. And which results in the needs. So I need to, the fundamental desire that I want to live long, I want to live long forever, I want to live long happily, and I want to be bigger than what I am. That desire for what I want to, desire for something to be different from what I am now itself, the fundamental desire itself is expression of what? Is the result of smallness, inadequacy centered on I, and which is because of the wrong notion I have about myself. And this desire alone results in what now? Becomes in the form of, crops up in the form of many other desires. And desires impel what? Actions. So karma, the performance of actions, externally performance of actions are impelled by the desires which rise in the form of thoughts in the mind. The desires themselves rise because of the sense of inadequacy, smallness centered on I. And that is because of the wrong notion I have about myself, deeply entrenched notions. And that notion is because of what? Because of the wrong erroneous perception. And then because of wrong identity, because of ajnanam, there's a big parampara, isn't it? The problem, for how many calls nonsense parampara? Because it's a long, one leads to the other. Then once the actions I perform, there also what? When stronger the ego, what is it? I am the doer. And not only that, actions perform, and actions do produce the results. And the results also, when they come, and then I have what? No, I am the enjoyer of the results. Then I have punyam and papam. Once punya papam are there, the punya papam, as long as the punya papams are there, then I have to be born again for exhausting punya papa. And to exhaust the punya papa, I have to be born, I have to assume another body. So what is that which gets you the new body? That is the causal body. Understand now? Causal body means, why avidya is causal body? What is that which enables you get a new body? Did you ask for the body? No. Why are we born here? With this physical, we are born means who is born? And the body is born. In that body we are here. enjoying this body an abode of enjoyment. Bhoga ayatanam. In this, we have got this body. We have asked for this body. We have got this body. Not really asking. What is that which enabled you get this body, enjoy this body? Why are you born here? We are born here with this body. Why? Only through this body you can enjoy your punya, results of punya papam. Pains and pleasures can be enjoyed only if you have bhoga ayatanam, an abode of enjoyment. Physical body is an abode of enjoyment. You need this abode of enjoyment for you to exhaust your pain and pleasure. For which you need also instruments of enjoyment, all the sense powers, powers of organs of actions, physiological functions, and the antahkaranam, the mind. So you are here what now? With this body. For this body to be here, your karma, what has brought this body into existence? What is the cause of your body? We are not asking what is body made of. Body is made of elements. The elemental product. But why did you get the body? What is the cause for this body to come into existence? What is the reason? How did this body? Of course, elemental only. Elemental body, that's true. What caused this body, no, to be an abode of enjoyment for you? The cause of this body is avidya. Understand now how avidya is the cause, causal body. It's not directly like the, how wood is the cause for the table. Not like that. Wood is the cause for the table. Here it's like what? It's like how the fear is when you see the snake, the perception of the snake causes fear. The perception of the snake causes fear in you. So actually perception of the snake means erroneous perception of the snake. Why? There's no snake. When there's no snake, but still there is fear. What is the cause of this, the fear? There's no snake. There's no snake, but still perception of the snake causes fear. And what is the cause of the perception of the snake? Ignorance of the rope. Understand? So ignorance of the rope gives birth to the fear ultimately. Similarly, what is the cause, no, because of which this body is here today? The causal body is avidya. That is what is said here in this thing. Why karana shariram? I'm only explaining only one word today. Why avidya is called karana shariram? What is this avidya? Ignorance. Isn't it? Now finally we understand what? This is the prakriti, power of consciousness associated with an individual body, manifest in an individual, the conscious associated with the individual body is what? Jivaha. And this power of consciousness manifest in the individual body is also what we say what? Avidya. See, when you say avidya is a karana shariram, we should not mistake that like a typical material cause. The material cause means like when you say gold is the material cause for the ornament made of that, isn't it? That's why I want to tell you here, what is that which causes, which is, what is the cause, how this body really comes into existence? This body itself, the birth of the body itself is determined by the law in keeping with one's own punya papams. And a punya and papam one can have, you are here, you know, having identity with this physical body as this is my body, I am here, I go through, I enjoy, I suffer. That is possible because are able to own the body here. Therefore, for this given individual physical body, we say what? The cause is avidya. Even avidya is the causal body. And this body cannot be, one cannot have a body, and one cannot have identity with the body also, if one does not have to exist, enjoy, exhaust punya papams. So, punya papa exhaustion, for that you need a physical body. So, what determines the physical, what is which belongs to this body? Punya papam only. It is karma. The karma only determine this body for you, along with this given parentage, etc. Which means, for this karma, you had what? For the punya papa, you had the karma with the doership. And this karma also is because of the your desires. Definitely desires. And desires are because of your needs. And the needs are because of your inadequacy and insecurity, this smallness centered on I. And that which is the expression of what? Ahankara. All the wrong notions you have about yourself. That is why they always say, you give up ahankara, there is freedom, moksha. You don't give up ahankara there. Ahankara is there. And why ahankara is there? Wrong notion about yourself is there because all you, the sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, centered on I is because of what? Because the wrong notions you have about yourself, and that is because of the superimposition adhyaropa. You mistake all the limitations of the body as your limitations. You mistake the attributes of your mind as your attributes. Mistake the attributes of the anatma as your attributes. This is called adhyaropa. And that is because you mistake the body mind's complex for yourself, which is called adhyasa. And why you mistake yourself for body mind's complex? Because you do not know what you are. Therefore, how not knowing what I am, this leads to the body. This half ignorance also is there because of what? Isn't it? This what is the root cause here? Avidya. If avidya is the karana shariram. Cause for this physical gross body, for it to come into existence, and for the subtle body, the instrument of enjoyment, causal, the gross body, abode of enjoyment, for this instrument of enjoyment, the causal body, abode of enjoyment, this physical body, for both these bodies, what is the cause? Where has it come from? Why it is there? Avidya is the cause. So, avidya is known as karana shariram. Is it here? There is no other karana shariram for us. Causal body, karana shariram. And this avidya, which is known as karana shariram, is what prakritihi associated with an individual. The power of consciousness associated with an individual is called avidya. The same power of consciousness associated with the total is called maya. And it's the consciousness also associated with the total is what? Ishwaraha. The consciousness associated with the individual is called jivaha. And this jiva again associated with this avidya is called what? Prajnaha. Identified with avidya is prajnaha. So when is prajna, when is avidya? In deep sleep state, for you to understand avidya, in deep sleep state, you are, when you are not knowing, you are not knowing what you are. But still there is experience. There's no jagat, there's no you. Then what you experience is what? That's only a model. It's not actually proper avidya. Till you understand avidya, you can do that example to some extent. And when you wake up, you say, I did not know anything, means your identity is with that avidya. So the individual self, the consciousness obtaining in deep sleep state, and that I sense identified with that deep sleep, that state of mind, the total ignorance is called what? Prajnaha. So jivaha in deep sleep state is called prajnaha.
பூர்ணமதஃ பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஹரிஹ ஓம் தத்சத். ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நமஹ. ஹரிஹ ஓம்.